Welcome to the Hollow White Ministries online Bible study and conference. And I'm David Shepherd, the technical expert here, bringing the communication to you. And we have Dr. Hollow White here that's going to give us a powerful message. And also Prophet Bob is here with us. We got quite a few people, Sister Shea Jackson. Sister Kim Polk's daughter is here. I see April Houston, Wendy Howard, Olga, and many other people that are here online with us. So, okay, what'd you say, Pastor White?
Okay, that's good. Praise God.
Good. All right, so we're going to bring Pastor White in, and he's going to start the conversation off. And remember, please keep your background low or mute your phones if you're not saying anything so that we can clearly hear each speaker that's presenting. All right. I think we're all set, Pastor White. Are you ready?
I was getting a lot of noise right there. Was that you?
No, that wasn't me. But it seemed to have gone away. And I can see here if anyone's making noise, and if I can mute them, I will.
Okay. All right, I'm ready.
Okay.
Well, praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Word. And we are just... Yes?
No, keep going.
Welcome to the Living Word. We are just so thankful to have all of you online with us this evening for this special Bible study. And I was... directed and felt led of the Spirit to continue on with our study on what love has to do in relation to us being able to access all of the things that God has prepared for us. I ministered yesterday in Chicago, what is transgression of the law? And when I got into my key verse for the message was in the three love epistles of the Apostle John. And located in the Bible, in the epistles of love that John wrote. Now, there was something about John that... was very special to Jesus, and we know through our study that it was the power of love that the Apostle John had received the anointing of and had been able to access in relation to his relationship with Jesus. This was the thing that made him feel comfortable. At the Last Supper, when after Jesus had said, "One of you shall betray me," and Peter, from down at the end of the table, motioned to John, the beloved, and he said, "Ask Jesus." Now, Peter knew that if anybody could get the answer from Jesus, it would be John. And John was sitting right next to Jesus after the Last Supper. And the Bible, and Peter said, John, he motioned to him and said, "John, ask Jesus who it is that's going to betray him." And I'm getting some noise on the line.
I got it.
And John laid his head over on to the chest, over on to the breast of Jesus, and said, "Lord, who is it? Who is it that will betray you?" Well, there was a special connection. There was a special relationship. and the power of love that John had been able to access in his relationship with Jesus was the thing that gave him the power to write these three epistles, which I ministered here in Chicago on yesterday. What is transgression of the law? And I, when I got into this, and that the verse that talks about transgression of the law is in 1 John, the epistle of 1 John, chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 4. In chapter 3 and verse 4 of the gospel of, of the epistle of John, he says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is transgression of the law. And I made this statement yesterday, and all of the people from Chicago will just have to deal with having to hear some of these things again. But it's good for you, because the more you hear it, the more it will begin to become indelible and written in your spirit. And I told them yesterday that I could put the message into one sentence. Actually, it could be summed up into one sentence. And that one sentence is, anything that violates the principles of love in transgression. Because this was the first thing that God did in relating to the children of Israel in relation to his law. He said, hear, O Israel, this is the number one commandment. This is the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Now, when you take the word heart, when you take the word heart and you connect it up to the center of you, because the word heart means the center of anything. So when you connect up the word heart to the center of you, then you have connected the heart to that which is the Ruach, or the Spirit. You see, we are dealing with the Ruach in the Hebrew, which is the Spirit, the Nefesh, which is the soul, and we're dealing with the body, and we're dealing with the mind. And he said, this is the thing I want you to do. Come to the place where you can love me with all of this, with all of these faculties and all of these parts of your being, to the very core of your being. You know, to love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and all of your strength. And then he says, the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I have explained this, and I want to reiterate this once again. I am not going to be like the lawyer that said, and who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? I asked God about this years ago. I said, Lord, Who truly is our neighbor? And God spoke to me, and he said, it is the person that you have been especially connected to by spirit. You see, we're all connected in a way. We're all connected by the Spirit. But there are people in your life that God has brought into your life that have just gotten very, very close to you. And it seems like there's a special bond. It seems like there is a special connection between you and that person. So the way God put it to me was, be the member that is next to you in the body of Christ. In other words, like, if let's say that I was the second joint, the first joint of my index finger. If I was the first joint of my index finger, my neighbor would be the second joint of my index finger. That means the one that is my neighbor. Or it could be, actually, when you get into the body of Christ, it can actually be someone completely on the other arm, or on the, because when you get a sticker into your left hand, your right hand goes to work to get it out. And as your right hand goes to work to get the sticker out of your left hand, that is loving your neighbor as yourself. In other words, if I got a sticker in my right hand, I would expect my left hand to come and get that sticker out. And that would be my neighbor ministering to me. My neighbor manifesting love to me. Manifesting care to me. So your neighbor is the one that is in the body of Christ that needs to have a special endowment of attention from someone who cares and someone who loves them enough to minister to them. And maybe at a time in their life when they're going through perhaps one of the most crucial and one of the most devastating, traumatic experiences in relation to their emotions, when that someone that they have loved that has betrayed them, or someone that they have loved that has let them down, or someone they have loved that has rejected them and has turned their back against them, that if I am the neighbor, if I am the neighbor to that person that I am supposed to be, I will go to the rescue of that person just like I would if it was me, and I would be expecting someone to help me to overcome. So that is the neighbor, and it has to do with the body of Christ. Now, you think about it. You really can't believe that God was telling you that all of your neighbors, some of them that fuss and cuss and carry on and have drunken brawls all night long and bang on the walls of your apartment. God doesn't, he didn't put the requirement on us to love those people as ourselves. Somebody said, well, aren't we supposed to love them? Yes, in spite of how bad they may try my patience. I have to love them, but I don't believe that God put the requirement on me to love those people as myself. I believe that the requirement that God put on me and on you to love your neighbor is to love those who are part of the body of Christ. This brings all of us together into one framework and one structure of the body of Christ. and brings us into relationship with God and brings us into a place where we can understand what the power of love is. And I pray that you're enjoying this live Bible study right now. And if you're not, if you know someone that hasn't joined in with us on the live Bible study, go to our website on your computer or tell them to go to the website and look up that number that they call. Look up the number that they call to get tuned in. As a matter of fact, it's 1-877-429-2978. And you can join in on the live Bible study. Hallelujah. And I'd like to have all of you that could join in with us on the live Bible study this evening. Now, I'm going to go back and pick up here where I left off. Out of this study into this message and the power of love, it took me all the way to understand more clearly why Jesus repeatedly was questioning Peter. Simon, do you love me more than fishing for a living? Do you love me more than this? And if you do love me more than this, I have something else for you to do. You see, coming to know God and coming to love God, is coming to make a dedication to fulfill his divine purpose for your life. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go back here to the book of Revelation and pick up the verse where Jesus was speaking. And, you know, this is pretty awesome when you get into this in the book of Revelation. And I wanted to pick up in chapter 2. We're going to start reading in verse 1, Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the pastor of the church. Now, somebody is thinking, well, Pastor White, in my Bible it says, unto the angel. Well, the angel is the messenger of the church, or the one that delivers the message of God to the church. And he said, unto the messenger of the church of Ephesus, write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars. Now, once again, the seven stars, you can find it in chapter 1, what the seven stars are. He said, Jesus said, John, write the things which you are seeing and the things which you have seen. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest. I'm in Revelation chapter 1, verse 20 right now. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, are the, watch it close, are the angels. The seven stars are the angels, or the messengers of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. So when you see all of these things described, in the right hand of Jesus were seven stars. That means that was the seven messengers that was in his right hand. Why were they seen in his right hand? Because the right hand symbolizes authority. It symbolizes power. It symbolizes a relationship with God. It symbolizes that we have fellowship with God. And the messengers are in the right hand of Jesus. That means they are situated in a place of power. They're situated in a place of authority. They're situated in a place of fellowship. They're situated in a place that writes. You know, most people write with their right hand. In other words, these messengers are situated in a place where they can receive the message from God. And so let me go back to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1. Unto the messenger of the church of Ephesus. Now, it is noteworthy that he's writing this particular message to one of the churches that had received some of the greatest revelations that the Apostle Paul ever declared. As a matter of fact, in the church in Ephesus, they received all of those powerful writings of the Apostle Paul about how that God in the ages to come would gather together all things in heaven and all things in the earth. And all things should be brought together in Christ Jesus. Now, notice this. These people in Ephesus had gotten some of the deepest revelation truth, but something had happened along the way. And God really quickened this to my spirit today as I was talking to him about this Bible study this evening. And he quickened it to my spirit how that many people that have received the best that God has in the way of knowledge and in the way of learning, yet they have failed God. Because they have given up the very thing that makes all of this work. There is not a revelation that will ever work. There is not a truth revealed that will ever benefit. There is never a message delivered that will bring healing unless it is brought forth in the power of love. Unless it is given out in the spirit of love. You see, and when you talk about love, you're talking about something that crosses your own desire. You see, for me to have been able to carry on this ministry for over 60 years, I had to give up my own desires. Did I have a battle with it? Yes. I had a battle with it. I had to give up all of the things that people love to have in relation to the framework of their lives. I had to give up so much of my association with family. And I love family. Oh, yes. I have 5 children. They're all grown. But they're all in God's hands. And all of them, I'm saved. They're all saved. Now, they're not all preaching. As a matter of fact, none of them are preaching. But God did not say that he would make preachers out of your children when you give them to him. He said that he would save them. And they're all saved. And they all love me in spite of all that I have had to go through. And in spite of all of the separation. Hello.
I'm here. Hold on.
What happened?
You got muted somehow. So you're connected back.
Okay. Am I back?
Yeah, you're back.
I'm here. Hold on.
Okay. And so I looked at this and I began to think about how much truth I have poured out in this city of Chicago. And not only in Chicago, but from Chicago. God has used Chicago as a base to circulate the message of the kingdom to so many nations around the world. And we have seen the results of the circulation of this message of the kingdom that has started coming back to us. We cast out bread of the waters many years ago, and now we're seeing God bring back the harvest of the bread that we cast out of the water. And we threw out the bread of life, but I could never have done this if my number one purpose was to fulfill God's will. And I had to be totally in love with that. I had to be in love with that to be able. Now somebody said, well, Pastor White, there's a lot of preachers. There's a lot of preachers preaching that are married. You're right. You're absolutely right. There's a lot of preachers preaching that have families and they have family life. You're absolutely right. But let me explain to you. As Dr. Lord brought forth in the service yesterday, our assignment is so vitally important. What God assigns us to regulates everything that goes on in our life. And so he writes here to the church in Ephesus, and he says, in verse 4, he says, after he tells them about how he realizes everything they have been through and all the battles that they've had to fight, he said, I know thy works, in verse 2, and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. He goes through all of this. And you have borne and had patience for my name's sake. And you have labored and have not fainted. But then he goes into verse 4. After they have done all of this, there's something that he's looking at in the church that does not make him happy. And here's what he says in verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Wow. Now, you know, when I think about God having something against me, I mean, that makes my knees, knock together. God having something against me. He said, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Now look at it. The point that I'm making, all of the revelation that the church in Ephesus had received, all of the great revelation that the Apostle Paul had delivered to them, yet they lost their love. Wow. And God spoke to me that this is the process that he is in right now in the church. He is right now stirring up a revival of his divine love in the hearts of his people that will cause us to come to the place we love and cherish one another as we have never loved and cherished one another before. I made the statement yesterday in Chicago that, you know, we have to have this revival of love to get the revival of the miraculous back. The miraculous and the createdness can only work. It can only work as we let the power of love flow. For the Bible says, and I gave it to the people in Chicago yesterday, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. You see, all of this happens by the power of love. There's a revelation of love that is going to take over the church and baptize the church once again. Now, when I get to verse 5, and then I'm getting ready in just a few moments to start bringing in some of the ministers or some of the people that may be on the line with us. I wanted to go to verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, watch. Now, when you see the word fallen show up here, you're looking at something that goes back to the book of Genesis. Adam fell because he allowed his love for his wife to interfere with his love for God. The Bible says that Adam was not deceived. He did it because his wife offered it to him. She offered to him the fruit. And Adam allowed his consideration for his wife to interfere with what God had already laid down to him. And this is why, as I started out telling you a moment ago, that I'm in Chicago and have been here for over 33 years. I'm actually we're going into a 35th year because we were here 1 year before our first convention. We just had a 33rd annual convention. Now we're working toward our 34th, but I was here a year before that. So having been here in Chicago, working toward 35 years, and it had to come. It had to come out of my willingness to do more than what Peter was able to do when Jesus said, "Do you love me more than fishing for a living?" You see, Jesus could have said to me, "Harlow, do you love me more than being able to have a family life? Do you love me?" Now, in case you're having trouble with that, don't worry about it, because he hasn't put the same call upon everybody. That just happens to be my assignment. And that's the way God took me. But I have gone with it, and I have adjusted with it. And you know what I have found? I have found that the church is actually my family. The church is my companion. Yes, this is where I find the love that I didn't get to have. Now, as far as my domestic relationship with my ex-wife, we are friends. Yes. We have overcome. God bless her. She has overcome. I have overcome. And there is no bitterness. There's no bitterness. There is some regret that has to be dealt with. But there is no bitterness. But Jesus says here, and then I'm going to get to this finished up in verse 5. Remember, therefore, from which thou art fallen, and change your direction. Change the way you are headed. And turn around and do the first works. Do the first works. What are the first works? Turning around. Changing your mind. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly. Now, when you read in the last chapter of the book of Revelation, where Jesus repeats that statement over and over and over. Surely I come quickly. I'm coming quickly. That he did come quickly. And that's why that the church in Ephesus became non-existent, because Jesus returned to it. He returned to the church. And here's what he said he was going to do. And I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick. Now, what does that mean? That means I will remove your part of being the church. I will remove your eligibleness. I will remove it, that you can be part of the church. I'm going to take it away, because I can't have a church that doesn't have the power of love flowing in it. Well, praise God. So I've been asking God to let me be baptized again in a new baptism of love. And this is love, which is the first and the greatest commandment. And it's not a new law. No. John said in his epistle, this is the word that we have had from the beginning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Brother David, who do you got the Lord of mine?
All right. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, we got Minister Ricky West here.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to unmute him.
Okay, Minister Ricky West.
Hello.
Hello there, Brother West. Come on in.
How you guys doing tonight? I got a text this morning, and I just glanced at it, and I seen 7:30 on there, and so I thought that's what time you guys were starting tonight, and then I got another one. But I guess that was on the AM, and I didn't notice that, so I'm a little bit late.
Getting no, that's
on
all right.
Anyway,
my apologies,
glad to be on
there
with you guys and listening to this teaching by Pastor Harlow. It's great. I got the CDs in from the convention a few days ago, and I went through all of them at least once, and I'm about to go through them again, but that's some rich stuff, and I wish I could have been there, but I just couldn't make it this time. But but anyway.
Well, we missed you, brother. God bless you.
Amen. I know you guys had a good one, but just love this kingdom message, and the thing about it is, you know, Brother Flavian over in Dallas and I, we're doing evangelistic work over in North Alabama, and sometimes we do real good, and then the next thing, about time you think you're doing real good, and then you don't have as much support as you thought you had, and you kind of have to start all over again. But you know what? I've figured out you just got to be faithful. And I heard Pastor Howard in the convention. He was saying this for me, but he said sometimes you don't have a building, you don't have the people, you don't have the money, you don't have the equipment, but you just got to keep going. And I thought, well, that's for me right there. I just got to keep going, and that's all I know to do, you know. So, but just love you guys and love this message. And I just, what I plan on doing is just keep growing and keep digging and keep learning and keep moving in the spirit.
Amen. Well, we love you, Brother Ricky West, and hope to be able to see you soon. God bless you. Thank you for joining in with us this evening. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Who else do we have there, Brother David?
We have Sister Marcia Saliga here.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to unmute her. Can you hear us, Sister Marcia?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. Well, the thing I'd like to just say is that I think one of the important things in all areas of our life, of the love, but in every area, I feel for myself and for all of us, is to keep short accounts with the Father. If you have any kind of ill will between yourself and another person, if there's a misunderstanding, a lot of times there are misunderstandings because the language isn't always perfect, and one person will say something meaning one thing and the other person takes it a different way. But whatever is the root of the misunderstanding, I immediately go to the Father that day. You know, the scripture says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So you cannot allow anything to go beyond that day. So, and whatever the misunderstanding is, even if you can't get it worked out immediately with the person, I go directly to the Father, and the Spirit shows me what the problem is, and he just takes care of it. It's actually miraculous. I mean, the Holy Spirit will just take over. He'll change your feelings, and he'll totally revamp the situation. I remember years ago, it comes to my mind, I had a lot of persecution on my job. And I'd come home, and I'd pray for the people that were persecuting me. And as I prayed for them, you know, the Spirit would show me, you know, I had a totally different, he just turned my frustration into love, because I saw that person and that they were really struggling with their own problems. And that's why maybe they were taking it out on me or whatever, you know. So, and then I would pray for them, and, you know, it was just like, the next day I'd go to work, and it was like it never happened, you know. I mean, God could just change those situations. And see people that, you know, were nasty to you, you know, after you pray and you go through it in the Spirit, wow, they just completely changed. It was just amazed me sometimes. I thought, wow, their attitude is totally different from what it was, you know. So that's what happens when you enter the holy place. You talk with the Father. The Holy Spirit just changes it all. And like I say, even if you may not understand all the ins and outs of why there was, he changes the atmosphere and just takes away your frustration, your anger, and it just turns it into pure love. But I guess the thing I just want to mention is that you need to do that every day. I call it keeping short accounts with the Father. You don't allow any kind of misunderstanding to linger. If you allow it to linger, it'll go into your subconscious, and that's when it'll eventually show up as a physical malady. And it'll show up maybe a week later. You'll find you have a cold or something, and it's really because you were distraught a few days later, and by the time it went through your subconscious and into your physical body, it shows up, you know, as a cold or whatever. So I guess that's basically what I want to say. Just keep short accounts with the Father, and that keeps you in that spirit of love, joy, and victory. So pray. Only the psychiatrist Jesus can do that. I mean, it's not something even a counselor could do. Only a psychiatrist Jesus can turn your inner turmoil into pure liquid love. So
this praying.
Yep.
Yes, Sister Marcy is, she has been a professional counselor for many, many years. So you're hearing that word come from the mouth of a person who knows all of the literary instructions in relation to overcoming emotional stress. And she has just said that the only way to do it is through Jesus. So praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you for that, Sister Marcia.
Amen. That was powerful.
Amen.
All right. Is our brother Abel Josephson here? All right, I can't tell. All right, well, we're going to move on. Sister Kim Polk's daughter is here, A God is Love. You want to say something?
Hello, everyone. Today I'm just listening.
Amen. Well, glad to have you here.
Yes, hello. Hello there. God bless you. God bless you. Have you got a word you want to give to us?
Not today. I'm just listening today.
Okay. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
We do have a few more people. So Erica Fleming is here. Shay and
Dr. Lord told me she was on.
She's on, but I can't hear her. And I don't recognize her number right here. All right, Dr. Lord, I see you, and you're online. Can you type me a message if you're here? Use that
okay.
little side panel. And then, yes, Pastor?
We have any other visiting or guest ministers online?
Not anybody that I recognize. Because there's a lot of numbers here without names. So now we do have Brother Prophet Bob Malinger, Sister Kim Polk.
Sister Kim Polk.
Sister Polk, you're live. Can you hear
Hello?
Sister Polk?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Good evening. Hi, Pastor, and to all that have joined in this evening. Exciting topic about love. Love is, it never grows old. It never grows old. It is a part of who we are. It's a part of what we do. And, you know, I like what you were saying, Pastor, about in ministering. It's just a part of the love of God that we minister to people, that is, it is our life. Those of us that are in ministry and share this love and teachings with others, it is just a part of our life. And Sister Marcia brought out a great point. I was looking a little bit earlier about the hand in the Hebrew being the center of power. And that power is in our hands that God has given us, the power to love, the power to forgive, the power to deliver, and use our hands, the hand representing the power of God, and use that. We lift our hands in praise. We lay our hands on people. We stretch forth our hands. So there's a lot of power that God has given into our hands as it relates to ministering and to expressing love to others. And I tell people often that you cannot get away from love and forgiveness. No matter what is going on, you will always be loving and you will always be forgiving because of, as Sister Marcia brought out, sometimes there are misunderstandings in the way you may say something or the misunderstandings of a person's intentions, but you have to quickly run to looking, turn that thing around and forgiving.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's forgiving yourself for even having the thought that somebody did you wrong or somebody, was working against you. So love and forgiveness. I just thank God for the live Bible study and missed being with you guys on yesterday. But love you, Pastor, and that's it for me tonight. Enjoying the
Thank you for joining in with us. And, you know, Sister Kim mentioned I'm getting a lot of noise up, Brother David. I don't know who it's coming from. But
I'm trying to track it down. So
I just mute everybody except the ones that are on talking. Mute them. And we'll kill that noise. Anyway, I wanted to reiterate what I had said yesterday. In all of the Hebrew definitions of love, of sin or transgression, in all of the Hebrew definitions of transgression, trespass, sin, all of them, I'm getting some terrible noise, Brother David.
I just found it.
All of them carry this as part of the definition. In other words, when it talks about and explains what transgression is, which is a willful act of going against what God has specifically said. He goes on after he gives all the definitions of what sin is. And then every one of these definitions include transgression, trespass, sin. It all includes forgiveness, purification, cleansing, washing, hallelujah, expiation. It all includes a sacrifice for sin. So, in other words, there is no transgression without forgiveness for it. There is no trespass without forgiveness for it. So, now, on that note, just let me tell you something. If you think you have the love of God, and anyone has trespassed against you, and you have not forgiven them, you don't have the love of God. Because, you see, the love of God carries that part of the definition. Forgiveness. I forgive you. Whether you ask forgiveness or not, whether you ask me to forgive you or not, I forgive you. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Who else do we have, Brother David? Hello?
Can you hear me, Brother Bob?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, buddy. Thank you, Pastor White, for allowing me to be on. And Dr. Lord, if you're out there somewhere, if you can't hear me in your ears, then I know you hear me by the Spirit. Sister Kim, we missed you yesterday. I love you, and I love all of you. In relation to what Marcia was talking about, John wrote in that first epistle in chapter 2, the true light now shineth because the darkness is past. And he said, he that hateth his brother is in darkness, but he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. And then he goes on to say that if you hate your brother, you're in darkness. And if you're walking in darkness, you know not where you're going because the darkness has blinded your eyes. What he's saying there is that if you even perceive that your brother is a stumbling block or an offense to you in any way, shape, or form, the problem is not in that brother or sister. The problem is in that your eyes have been blinded and you're stumbling over them. Because you're walking in the darkness by even perceiving that brother or sister as an offense. So through the eyes of Christ, you can't help but see a brother or sister through love. And there's no occasion of stumbling. And the other point I'll bring out, Pastor, as you were talking about in Revelation chapter 2, about returning to our first love. Interesting thing that the way the Spirit took it with me. If you go to the preceding verse, verse 2 of chapter 2 there in Revelation, Jesus says, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and you abide them which say they are apostles, and are not, and as them liars, and that you have born, you've carried the weight, and has patience, and my name's sake has labored, and is not. Fainted, and then he goes on.
Hey, Brother Bob. Are you
Hello?
On the speakerphone?
No, actually, no, I'm not.
Okay.
Do you want me on the speakerphone?
No, just back up a little bit. We lost you just for a second.
Okay, is that any better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. What I was trying to point out in chapter 2, verse 2, is that Jesus goes through all of these things that they have been doing that are good, that are right. All those aspects of works and laboring and patience. And then he goes and tells them to repent and return to their first works. That tells you that the first works are not these things that he's listing in verse 2. See, we think all these things that we're trying to do in relation to our ministries and in relation to, you know, how we're trying to, you know, serve God and tithe and all these things. Jesus points out all these things that you're doing that are right, but yet he tells them, return to the first works. See, those aren't the first works, those things. The first works is, as Pastor White is pointing out, it's to return to the love. It's not all these other things. We as the body have got to come back to the place of where the two greatest commandments are what we completely operate in. And that was the revelation that John arrived at in his walk, was all he was able to do was see through the eyes of Christ and see, if you see through the eyes of Christ, then everything is seen as, there nothing can offend you. It is impossible for you to become offended because you're always seeing through the eyes of love and doing the first work. So the first, I just wanted to point out, the first works, not all of these things that we might associate. The first works are the works of love that he raised up Adam for in the beginning, that Adam fell away from.
Amen.
The other thing I wanted to say, in Isaiah chapter 26, Isaiah writes in verse 8, well, let me go back to verse 7. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou, most upright, does weigh the path of the just. He calls him the most upright. I love that. And by the way, where the writer of Hebrews in chapter 12 said to make your paths straight paths for your feet, the word straight actually meant upright. So when we talk about running the race, it's actually vertical. We're actually running the race into an upright position, moving vertical, as the most upright one is, becoming more like him. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. And here it is. This is what I wanted to share with all of my brothers and sisters that are running this race and returning to our first love. With my soul have I desired, and that means longed after. With my soul have I longed after thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee. It says early. In the Hebrew, it is at dawn or to dawn or diligently seek at dawn. I will seek thee at dawn. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness.
Christ.
When thy judgments are in the earth, how is God's judgments going to be in the earth? You remember Psalms 82. He said to his Elohim, you have judged unjustly.
Yeah.
God's judgments are in the earth through us, the sons of God. We return to our first love and seek him in the night and seek him at dawn and praise his holy name. And I just want to share that all with you because that's the place that he's brought me to. And thank you, Pastor White, for that wonderful message that you delivered yesterday. God bless all of you.
Praise God. Praise God. I thank you, Brother Bob Mallinger, for that wonderful word. And I don't know if Brother Aaron Hicks is on the line with us tonight or not. But
if he is, I can't tell.
Well, okay. I want to say this to all the ministers that are online with us. Would you please do us a favor? please do me and Brother David a favor. Why don't you send us an email? Brother David, where did they send the email to?
They could send the email to Pastor Harlow White at yahoo.com. Also, you can register on the website. If you go to the live stream page, go to the third panel right under the live stream window and register here for broadcast reminders. When you put that email in that registration, I know exactly who you are. And when you call with that number, I can identify you within the broadcast.
Yes, okay. So all of the ministers that are online with us, I want to get this to where we don't have to say it's Brother so-and-so or Minister so-and-so on the line with us. We want to just be able to look at the numbers that are there and identify it with you. So be sure and send us your name. If you're a pastor or you're a minister, an evangelist, send us your name and your telephone number so we can identify you when you join with us. Because I do want to open this up because we get so much input from the people and the ministers that join with us here on this live Bible study.
Yes, praise we do.
Now, you were saying, Brother David, that Sister Kim Pope's daughter was on the line. Which daughter?
That was our oldest.
The love goddess? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And she did speak. She said she was just listening.
Yeah, okay. All right. I want to make these announcements right quick. Our next service, we have two services here in Chicago in December. The two services will be on Sunday, December 6th. 11 o'clock at the Crown Plaza Hotel, 733 West Madison, at the corner of Madison and North Halsted in Greektown, right next to the freeway. And come and be with us on Sunday, December 6th. And then our next service in December will be Sunday, December 20th. So come and be with us and join with us in these powerful services. Now, God willing, and you know what? It's kind of amusing for me to have to say this, but folks, listen, I mean, I remember the last time I tried to get home from Milwaukee after we had been up there, and it took me 6 hours driving. 6 hours, as a matter of fact, Brother David was driving the van in front of me, and I was driving behind him, and it took us 6 hours to drive from Milwaukee back to Chicago. And
yes,
what I was saying is kind of amusing because the young man who was telling his girlfriend, said, I tell you, I love you so much. I would just swim the widest river. I would trek the driest desert, and I had just to get to be with you. And they said, and so when he got ready to leave, she said, "Well, are you coming over Sunday?" He said, "If it doesn't rain." So anyway, if it doesn't snow, I was working towards something. If it doesn't snow, we're planning on being back in Milwaukee on Saturday, December 12th. Saturday, December 12th, we will be back in Milwaukee. If it comes a storm, we will not be there. So just watch the weather, and because we're not going to try to drive up there and try to get back in a heavy snowstorm. So in relation to that, there's something else there that comes into play, and that's knowledge and wisdom. Even though we love God with all of our heart, He gives us divine wisdom also. If we come to Milwaukee on Saturday, December 12th, we will be at the Crown Plaza Hotel, 6401 South 13th Street. God is doing miracles. Come and be with us.
And we'll also use the website to post a notice. So the week of, we should have a good idea what the weather's going to be like. And if we do come up there, we will confirm on the website. And hopefully we have the ability to send out email notifications about our intentions for Milwaukee.
Okay. Okay, so visit the website. And, you know, if you would send us an email, we can send you an email. I mean, I've been trying to get people to do this for years, and it just seems like they just don't have the unction to send us just a simple email to say, hi, this is blah, 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 and then we have your email address. We've tried to take them off the cards, and if you get one dot or one slash or one number or something wrong, well, we get an email back from the mailer demon. So we don't want to deal with that. So if you would just send us an email, we can send you an email. But you can go to the website and confirm if we're coming to Milwaukee on Saturday, December 12th. It's been wonderful being with you this evening. God bless you. Heavenly Father, let the power of your Spirit take over the word that has gone forth here, and let love baptize us. Let us become overwhelmed with the power of your love in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let the word take root in our heart and begin to bring forth fruit. And we thank you for it. Let every person that's listening be healed. I send the power of healing to that one that's battling right now with a physical infirmity. I take authority over it in Jesus' name. And I can feel some of you that are reaching out, some one that is going through right now an emotional trauma in their life. I speak peace into them in Jesus' name. Someone that's going through a battle in their mind right now, I speak peace in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the victory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
And before we sign off, I just want to say,
just a minute, don't forget that to go to our partner page and become a partner with us to carry this message. You can make a donation. You can go to the partner page, or you can go to the donation page and make a donation to help us keep this message going forth. And it's going forth around the world. It's going forth in all parts of Africa. It's going forth in the Philippines. It's going forth in Australia. It's going forth in Canada. It's going forth in many, many areas of the world. It's going forth in Mexico, the message of the kingdom. And God has used Chicago as the catapult to send forth the message of the kingdom. God bless you. I love you dearly. Pastor Harlow White here saying, join with us next time on our live Bible study, which will be on Monday, December 7th. Join with us, and hopefully we will be we will be streaming a Bible study. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.
Love you all, and thank you for everyone that has signed up and support us. Peggy Carruthers, Beverly Loesch, Sandra Bromlow, and everyone else is here. I can't get every name, but thank you all, and join us next time.
And be sure, ministers, all the ministers, be sure and send us your name and your phone number.
Amen.
Please do that. God bless you.
All right. Have a good night, everyone. We're signing off.
All right. Thank you, Brother Dave. Love you.
Love you all.
Good night. Good night.
Good night. Love y'all.
Good night.